Later this morning, the 45th president of the United States will be sworn into office. Donald Trump arrived in Washington yesterday.
That's right. He kicked off his inauguration weekend with a concert at the Lincoln Memorial, and afterwards he spoke to his supporters.
He said that he and the people who voted for him were all about change. That's what he wants to see happen. NPR's Scott Detrow is here in the studio with us to talk about what we can expect this morning. Hi, Scott.
Morning, Rachel.
So what's the itinerary?
Well, it's a packed day, and it's a day that's set with ceremony that's pretty constant from year to year. Donald Trump will take the oath of office around noon, but his day starts much earlier. There's a church service at 8:30 at St. John's Church right near the White House. At 9:30, the Trumps go to the White House, and they meet with the Obamas. They have tea or coffee. Mm-hmm. They chit-chat. They talk. Around this time, according to what we know about previous transitions, is when Trump will likely be briefed on how to use the nuclear codes, an awesome responsibility that
no small thing.
His at noon. That's his decision at noon. So he'll get that briefing. A lot of previous presidents had said that's a real reality check moment.
Yeah.
And then the Obamas and the Trumps all go to the Capitol around 10:30
together
in a limo. And that has been a source of tension in previous years. Herbert Hoover refused to talk to Franklin Roosevelt when they rode to the Capitol.
They just sat there in the car not speaking?
Roosevelt waved to the crowd. Hoover was grumpy about losing in a landslide and didn't talk at all the entire way.
Wow.
Okay. So and then we will watch history unfold as Donald J. Trump takes the oath of office. Mm-hmm. Stay with us, Scott. You're going to help us monitor all these events and mark the festivities. But we want to bring another voice into the conversation now. Christopher Buckley, he worked as a speechwriter for President George H.W. Bush during his years as vice president to Ronald Reagan. Chris Buckley is the author of several political satires, including the novel Thank You for Smoking. He joins us via Skype from the Bahamas. Mr. Buckley, thanks for being with us.
Good morning.
Where exactly are you, Mr. Buckley? You emailed us last night and said you were very excited to tell us this.
Well, I thought it would be worth mentioning that I'm speaking to you from a place called Hope Town,
okay,
which is a very small island that was founded in 1785 by loyalists who had to escape America and come here.
Are you saying there's some symbolism there? Are you trying to escape right now?
I will leave it to your listeners to decide whether or not there's some embedded symbolism there. But it's a very pleasant place. But I'm happy to join you via the marvel
of technology. Uh-huh. So setting your geography aside for the moment, let's talk a little bit about your lineage. You are, of course, the son of William F. Buckley, tremendously influential conservative intellectual, the founder of the National Review. When you sit from your perch in the Bahamas and think about this moment and where your party is at, where the Republican Party is at, how has it changed since your dad's time?
Well, it has changed. It's changed quite a bit. I am frequently asked what my dear old departed dad would have made of Donald Trump. And it's funny, no one asks me what he would have made of Ted Cruz or Jeb Bush or John Kasich. So
other Republicans, they don't ask you about that.
I have to conclude that they are asking me wanting to know whether or not that my dear old dad would have considered him a conservative. And my it's tricky channeling your dad's ghost. Hamlet tried it. That didn't work out so well. But my best answer would be that Donald Trump defies categorization. Mm-hmm. I think he is, to use the Latin, which my dad frequently reverted to, he's sui generis. He is his own type.
Yeah.
There is no one like him. I do not. That is not necessarily a compliment, but I think it is true.
What about the party today? I mean, George H.W. Bush, obviously on a lot of minds because he is hospitalized right now. You've said in the past that you have an abiding affection for the first President Bush. Do you see his influence in the Republican Party of today?
Sadly, I see very little in it. You're probably now aware of the letter that Mr. Bush sent Donald Trump last week, saying
yeah, unable to come to the inauguration.
Be,
yeah,
unable because under doctor's orders, he said that as a 92-year-old, if he sits outside in January, he will soon be 6 feet under. I thought it was a typical grace note of President Bush, who was I think the man after my father I admire most. My mischievous side would be tempted to hypothesize whether or not Mr. Bush, being in the hospital, had decided it was preferable to shuffle off this mortal coil than be alive today. But I rejoice that he is still with us, and I'm sure he is participating in his way via the marvel of modern
technology. While watching things on television, or somehow we hope, depending on his condition, which we're all watching, of course.
Well, I mean, consider the graciousness of the man. You know, Mr. Trump, among other things, defeated Mr. Bush's own son during the Republican primaries. George Bush is, he may be the last gentleman. It grieves me to say that, but he embodies virtues that are conspicuously, I think, absent today.
Let me ask you this, Christopher Buckley. Your dad is often cited as the intellectual father of the modern conservative movement. He was the definition of a conservative elitist to many people. And the election that just happened was in many ways a rejection of that. This was about the outsiders. This was about the everyman, the working class that has felt disenfranchised. Do you think this represents a temporary shift? Is it a rejection of what your dad was about?
I would point out to you that, you may think of my dad as an elitist. I would point out to you that when he ran for mayor of New York in 1965, he polled best in Queens, in the borough of Queens. His constituency, the people who awarded him his 13.5% vote in that general election, were cops and firemen. Which I think runs a little bit athwart your definition of him as an elitist. He had patrician manners, but my dad was very much a man of the people.
Well, this is one of the things really that I'm curious to look for as the Trump presidency begins. I mean, a lot of people, you know, made a big deal out of the fact that you have this rich, you know, this rich man, wealthy man from New York City, drawing a lot of appeal from the working class. But there was one study that they did at Harvard saying, like, no, if you are working class, if you're hardworking, you care about your families, you admire someone who is wealthy. And it's just gonna be interesting to watch where that appeal is as these first days happen.
Yes, I think that's true. There's obviously a fascination with wealth. There's always been. I mean, like some years ago, the most wasn't there some dreadful television show called Lifestyles of the Rich and
Rich
Famous?
Rich and Famous, yeah. Who can forget it?
I doubt its greatest viewership was along Park Avenue in New York. It probably played a little bit better in what we sometimes refer to as the flyover states. But I think wealth. And especially the variety of flashy wealth that one might say gaudy wealth that Mr. Yeah. Trump embodies, I think will be interesting up to a point.
Let me ask you this, Chris Buckley, to interrupt you. We have to mention this, though, because in 1999, you wrote a parody address for Donald Trump as if he had won the presidency.
Amazing.
And this is how it starts. This is a great day for me personally. You're very smart to have voted for me because I'm going to do positive things for this country, starting with this mall I'm looking out over. And we're poking fun, and it is a parody, but there is something about the rhetoric that is very true to who he is. Clearly, this is something you saw coming in some form or another.
Well, it took 17 years to come true. I would say it seemed funny at the time, but here we are. It's mourning in America, as we say, and mourning is a word that can be spelled two ways.
And Nice way to put it. And we have many people arriving in Washington this morning, many of them Donald Trump supporters and many of them who plan to be protesting tomorrow. So might use two different versions of that word. Listen,
well,
once we get off the line,
I wish them all a good day.
Yeah, well, I would love you to predict my future when we get off the live radio here, because it sounds like you have a knack for that. That is the novelist Christopher Buckley, who worked as a speechwriter for President George H.W. Bush when he was vice president. Mr. Buckley, thanks so much for taking the time this morning. We appreciate it.
Good to be with you.
Thanks.
God bless America.